الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So over this past weekend, alhamdulillah, a very close friend of mine got married. I still remember him as a young boy in the madrasa, and now he's, you know, mashallah, mufti, and you know, he's teaching at a madrasa in Virginia. And so there's many of our old friends from, you know, all over, particularly from Chicago, because that's where we had studied initially, had come into town, and it was very nice to see everyone again. And that's sort of the way life is, that, you know, as the pages turn and the things change. So some of our friends who had come in from out of town were actually staying with us. And so the men had actually gone out in the morning, and then we had the kids with us. We went to the park and we're letting the sisters get ready. And then, you know, in the back of our mind, we knew that, you know, the wedding's going to get started at such and such time, so we have to make it by then. And so you sort of have this plan, right, that, okay, fine, we'll let the sisters get ready, and then we all have to allot enough time so that we can get the kids home, so that the kids can get a bath, you can get the kids' clothes changed. And, you know, jokingly we said that, you know, we're ready to go, right? Just because, you know, sometimes men are like that. But, you know, and then we have to have enough time for the men to get ready, and then we, you know, we get out. So, in any case, that whole process of preparation for an event, about, you know, getting ready for something that is really important, is actually sort of has a lot of nuances to it. And, you know, the funny thing is that the closer the person is to you, the greater the amount of preparation that you actually do. So if some distant person that you don't really know that well, like, I mean, so when we're about to go to the wedding, you know, the children, they don't even know, then they're like, why do I have to come? Because they wanted to go play football, right? So they're like, oh, do I have to come? I don't even know who he is, who's getting married. So there's not as much of a connection there, so they didn't feel that they even had to go, right? Then if there's a, but, I mean, because of me, I knew him, and I said, no, I really wanted to go, and I wanted to see him, so on and so forth. And I explained to them it's sunnah to go to a walima, so on and so forth. But then, you know, if it was your cousin's wedding, right, you can't even think of not going. Then even more so if it's your, you know, brother or sister's wedding, then the preparation doesn't start 1 hour or 2 hours before. It's starting 1 month in advance. Right? 1 month in advance, you're getting things ready. Everyone's whole focus becomes that. And so the closer that person becomes to you, the more the preparation is. And then if it's your own wedding, right? Allahu Akbar Kabira. Right? And who would ever think of missing their own wedding, right? And how much preparation goes into that. When the night they go to sleep, they're thinking about it. In the morning when they get up, they're thinking about it. They're going to their classes, they're thinking about it. And then there's this detail and that detail, and then you miss one thing, and it consumes your entire life, right? As soon as the rishta gets pakka, right, as soon as you know that, you know, that this is going to be your significant other, then all of life in a certain way, right, sort of revolves around the big day. Because we also have another big day, right? And that's the day that we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal and, you know, answer for our entire life. We'll have to answer about what knowledge we had and whether we acted upon it, about how we spent our youth, about how we spent our time, about how we spent our money. All of these things will carry reckoning. And just like there's a big event, that is also a big event that you need to prepare for. Right? That is the big event. The big event. And we said the closer the person is to you, the more preparation goes into it. There's no one closer to ourselves than our own selves. Right? So we have to prepare the most for this big day. And so, you know, one of the things that you'll notice that, you know, before a person goes to a wedding, there's almost a script that people follow, right? There's a script. So the script starts that first everyone has to take a bath, right? Everyone has to take a shower. because you can't even think about putting on makeup. You can't think about, you know, wearing your nice clothes. You can't think about putting on the nice perfume until the inside has become clean. Right? No one's going to see what's sitting underneath your shirt. No one is going to see what's sitting underneath your jubba. But to yourself, you want to make sure you try to use the nicest soap. You try to use the best shampoo. No one's going to ever know that, but you want to make sure everything is squeaky clean inside. Because you just feel uncomfortable that inside, if you are filthy, and on the outside you're wearing something nice, it doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right. In the very same way that our preparation for the akhirah actually starts in the same way. That our insides, right, we want to make sure everything is squeaky clean. So how do you take a bath, right? How do you take a bath in the deen? There's two things. One thing is that there's certain amal which serve as our bath. So the first one is that we have to pray 5 times a day. Because when you pray from one prayer to the next prayer, it serves as if you're washing away your sins. So it was, you know, Rasulullah, he gave such a beautiful similitude that can you imagine anyone who goes into a river 5 times a day, will there be any filth left on that individual? Right? Sahaba said then, no, how could that be? Right? I mean, many of us, there's so many people who don't even take a bath every day. I had read in some article sometime that where they talk about things guys want most in a woman and things that women want most in a man. And one of the things that they actually mentioned in the article is that, you know, they want their significant other to take a bath every day. Right, which sort of at least intimates to me that maybe that's not the common practice, right? That people don't shower ever necessarily every day. But forget about once every day. Imagine someone's taking 5 showers a day. You take him to get a psychiatric consult because he says obsessive compulsive disorder or something, right? So Sahaba said, of course he would be clean. And that's the same similitude of a person who prays 5 times a day. And then Ramadan to Ramadan, that you have to fast 30 days in Ramadan. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And then at least once in your life, you should make Hajj, right? This actually, these are the certain amal which serve as a cleaning. And the other category of things which serve as a cleaning is what we call istighfar and or tawbah. This is the background. This is where you begin your preparations for the big day. And tawbah is actually like sort of really at the root of everything. We know that, for example, that for when a person sins, what happens? A black dot comes upon the heart. And how does a person, you know, remove that? You know, a person can remove that through dhikr, right, obviously. But when a person makes istighfar, أَسْتَائِبُ مِنَ ذَنْبِكَ مَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَا, that the person who makes tawbah for a sin, it is as if they have no sin upon them. As it comes in, and this concept of purification, of being clean, is actually found in the psychology of the prophetic dua. اللهم نقنا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وغسله بالماء البارد والثلج أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That اللهم نقنا, Allah clean us, كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. The way that you clean a white cloth, right? ثوب الأبيض من الدنس, from any type of filth. So, and غسله بالماء البارد والثلج, and clean it with hail, right, and cold water. So this is how where we start, that a person makes sincere tawbah, that I want to live my life completely in accordance with Allah, what Allah wants it for me in my life. With that resolve, and this bath doesn't only have to occur once, it might have occur on a daily basis. It might occur many times on a daily basis. Rasulullah says 100 times a day he would make istighfar, right? So this is a way that a person keeps clean. And you'll see this, right? So, you know, I mean, people shouldn't wear makeup when they go up, but oftentimes, like for example, when a sister may go, like these non-Muslim sisters who go on dates, right, they have to go to the bathroom to touch up their makeup. Right? They start out with their makeup in a certain state, but after a little while, they say, "I have to go powder my nose. I have to go," meaning that they see a sort of a decline and they want to bring it back up. In the same way, for the mu'min, when he has cleaned himself from inside to a certain degree, you also, from periodically, will have to keep on cleaning. Right? Also, by the nature of a human individual, this filth sort of accumulates. So then you notice like everyone took a bath first, right? After that, when everyone's getting ready for a wedding, then the other thing that people are very particular about, right, is to make sure that their faces look beautiful. Right, so then people put on, so particularly like, you know, for sisters can relate to this, that, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours before that they have a mask. Right, they'll put on a mask, They wait till the mask dries and then take it off so that their faces are very, you know, bright. And then after they do that, then they have to have a, you know, microdermabrasion and this dermabrasion. And then you do all these things to make sure that everything looks so like perfect, right? The skin tone is perfect. Everything's perfect because it has to be perfect because it's such an important day. You want to put up makeup and make it beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And because when the face is beautiful, this is something that attracts the attention, right, of others. This is something which earns the admiration of others. Anytime you see something of beauty, especially a human being who is beautiful, whether it's a man or a woman, it's something which attracts admiration, right? So in the same way, everyone wants to be, you know, in a certain way admired. That's why they pick the clothes they wear and they look the way they look, right? Whether or not that's okay, that's a different discussion. But this is sort of human psychology at a you know, general level amongst the masses. And so I've said this many times before in this method, but our makeup, right, our makeup, our mask, all of that is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, right? That is the way that you attract the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. So can you imagine if you were to tell, you know, for most sisters, if you were to tell them to go to a wedding without any lipstick or without any foundation, right? That's like, you know, you'd rather like put them in a grave than just say, fine, I'm not going. I'd rather not go. And you remember, I mean, when you're teenagers and your parents tell you, oh, Beja, you can't wear that. Why don't you wear this? Like, mom and dad, I'd rather not go than wear that, right? I'm just not going to go. Because it's better not to go and be embarrassed, right, than to go in that state. And so we can't take it flippantly that, I mean, people are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And if you're wearing something other than what is in vogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the thing that's in vogue is the sunnah of Rasulullah, it'll be embarrassing. The same type of embarrassment that someone feels. You know, so a person goes in front of people and they don't have their foundation, they feel almost naked, right? They feel uncomfortable. They feel something's not right, right? Or they don't touch up their lipstick or whatever. Imagine having to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the makeup of the sunnah. That would be a very embarrassing situation. Very embarrassing. We don't remember the du'as that Rasulullah used to make. We don't follow the sunnah that how he used to deal with other people, the physical sunnah, the internal sunnah, and so on and so forth. So that's the makeup aspect. And then everyone knows, right? Everyone knows that one of the most important things about going to a wedding is to make sure that you have a drop-dead gorgeous, right, outfit. Because it all comes down to the outfit, right? The more beautiful outfit you have, the nicer sharara and more qam is on the sharara. And, you know, the further, now even the sherwanis have qam, you know, like on the things. It's like sometimes you don't know if it's like the work is being done for the sister or the brother on what you're buying because it's so like ornate. But it's become such a big trend, right? So that everyone wants to make sure their outfit looks smashing. So on the day of Qiyamah, we'll also have to have some type of outfit. So what outfit do we prepare for that day? It comes very clear in the Quran. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولباس التقوى ذلك خير. And the libas of taqwa, that is the best. The raiment of taqwa. A person might ask, what is taqwa? Okay, fine, that makes sense, but what is taqwa? So, I mean, it's a very long discussion, but I'll give you one very short explanation that our Farah Sheikh, right, not my teacher, but his teacher, had said, he was called Murshid Alam, Sheikh Ulam Habib. His students were muftis and ulama, and his like majalis used to be tafsir, like, he used to speak Quran. So he said that taqwa is to avoid and abstain from anything that creates a distance between you and Allah. To avoid or abstain and shun all those things that create a distance between or create a khalal between you and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, that is taqwa. And that's why you have stories of these individuals which makes no sense. There's a young man, I'll just tell you one story. There was a young man who had told his siblings that I will trade. So you know, he was going to get inheritance from his parents. He said, I will give you my portion of the inheritance, but give me the opportunity that I can do the khidmah of our parents. So they said, fine, you can do the work and we'll take the money. So they let him do all the work. So he did khidmah, and so on and so forth until the time that his parents passed away. So he didn't get any inheritance from them. one night in a dream, he saw that an angel, that there a voice spoke to him that, you know, go to such and such a place, you will find 100 dinars. And this was in response for the good work that he had done for his parents. Now, if any one of us, we would have jumped on that thing. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. He's the one who sees everything. He knows how righteous we are. Look, he's giving this. So he asked the voice back. He said, will Allah's barakah, will it be with it? And he said, no. Then he said, just leave it. Now he woke up, right, as all men do. They share everything with their wives. So he told his wife that he said, you know, I saw such and such a dream. So the wife said that, go and check. Right? You don't have to take it, just go and check, see if it's true. So he said, no, if I'm not going to take it, what's the point in going and checking? After a little while, he saw another dream. Another voice said, and go into such and such a place, you will find 10 dinars, right? And go and take that. He said, will Allah's barakah be with it? I said, no. So then he left it. Same thing happened again. The third time, it happened that he saw another dream. He said that go into such and such a place, you'll find 1 dinar. And he says, would the blessing of Allah will be with that? And he said, yes. Right? The voice replied, yes. So he said, then I will go and take it. So he got up in the morning and whenever he got up, he went to that place and he went into the area and he actually found that 1 dinar. There was really 1 dinar. So on the way home, right? So a person will say, okay, tum kitne bekhuf hai? Like you went and you skipped 100 dinars and you only got 1 dinar. What are you going to buy with 1 dinar? On the way home, maybe they needed some food at home. He said, I'll bring some fish home with the dinar. So he paid the person and he bought a fish home. So they brought the fish home and it wasn't like, you know, Costco as we have now where all this, you know, fillets are already sliced and everything's ready to go. They actually bought a real fish. So you had to take it home and skin it and whatnot. And when they were opening it up, they found a precious jewel inside the thing. And the jewel was such that it was enough to last them for the rest of their life. So this is when, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide him from where he didn't even calculate. He didn't even think it would come from there. It will come from there. So a person should adopt this libas of taqwa. Right. And then, it reminds me of the story. And when I just say these two things, actually it reminds me of this one. There's a small kid, he was maybe like 7 or 8 years old, and he one time like emailed, like he was trying to like improve himself, so he emailed the sheikh, right, that this is like my whatever, he said this. And so the email came back, or maybe the father emailed on his behalf that, you know, he wanted to keep in touch with you to improve himself. So the sheikh, he wrote back, he says, then advise him with the cornerstone of our tariqah, that it is the sunnah and taqwa, right? So sunnah makeup, taqwa is our libas. This is something you just ingrain in your mind. The other thing, right, and it's sort of an important thing also that, you know, we can't forget. There's many layers to this, but probably just talk about this last thing. Is that usually when before people go, after they've done everything, then they want to also make sure. Oh, and when I talk about makeup, right, look at the Quran. It's so amazing. You know, we talk about masks and they have this like, you know, all this illuminating this and, you know, radiant skin, and this is how they talk about these things now in the cosmetic industry. So whether it be Christian Dior or Givenchy or whatever it is, and then look at the wording of the Quran. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Is even the wording is so beautiful. But in Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wujuhi, and there will be faces, yawma idhin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have described them in any way, right? But if you wanted to describe the state of a believer on the day of Qiyamah, someone who shows up to the main event, right, and they're really ready, right, they're really ready, they're all decked up, they're GQ, as they say, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe them? Wujuhun yawma idhin nadhira. They come, their faces are shining and radiant. Ila rabbiha nadhira. They are looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayah, yawma yafirru al-mar'u min akhi wa ummihi wa abi wa sahibatihi wa bani likulli imri'in minhum yawma idhin sha'nun yughni. People are running away from their mothers, their fathers, their children, their wives. They don't care about anything. Likulli imri'in minhum yawma idhin sha'nun yughni. Every single person is going to have something on that day that they're going to be worried about. It's going to make them so worried that they don't care about anything. Right? Anything. It'll be that much craziness. Sha'nun wujuh, but on that day, wujuhun yawma idhin musfira. There will be faces which will be what? Shining. ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. They will be laughing and taking, rejoicing in the glad tidings they will be given. And there will be others. You also told about the people whose whole faces will be dusted. تَرْحُقُهَا قَطْرَةٌ. Their faces will be actually full of darkness. Right? That's not the way that you actually want to show up to a wedding. Right? Especially when it's your own. You don't want to show up in that state. I actually, there's one or two more things that I just came to mind. The other thing is everyone wants to sit on the special table. Right? So that's why we've been told that when you ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, ask for Firdaus. Right? When you ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for Firdaus. That's the special table in Jannah. So we should go shoot for the best. The other thing I remember that one time after we came back from a wedding, I know one of my family members, they said, oh, you know, such an, didn't name the person, so I don't know who the person is. But they said, no, this person had come and they looked like a model. Right? And this is like the best type of compliment that you can give to a sister, right? That, oh my God, she looked like a model at the wedding. That would be like the pinnacle of any type of compliment you can give to them. There's also models who are going to be modeling on that day. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةً, as it comes in the Quran, right? That in لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةً. That's the first one. In the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a good model for you. And also by Ibrahim, إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ بُرَآءَ مِنْكُمْ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, so on and so forth. So also this has been referred to us as a model. So if you want to be a model on that day, if you want to look like a model on that day, then you just have to copy these people. Literally, people before they go to weddings, right? If they don't have the magazine, they'll go and look online for the magazine to say that how does this model wear her hair? How does this model wear her makeup? How does this model dress this? And they want to make themselves exactly like that model. If you just take that same attitude and apply it to the deen, you'll really be shining, right, on the day of Qiyamah. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ, right? You will be, inshallah, a model on that day of Qiyamah. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us and gives us the focus to prepare properly for our own big day, that He makes us amongst those whose faces are shining and radiant and splendid upon that day, and may He grant us a seat at the head table with our most beloved and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.